The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle. This is the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is September 23rd, 2014, and we are sponsored by Fiorello Barbell Company here in upstate New York, where we're not the biggest, but we're the best. And our motto is, we don't try, we succeed. And today, once again, today's been a big day for Motivation and Muscle. We're going to have our second guest that will be brand new to the show, and we hope Jim will come back after this if he likes me, I hope. So we're going to talk today about something that's very close to my heart, and that's called entrepreneurship. Jim is an expert on this, and he is also an author, and he likes to do some startup business. And the thing is, he's right up the alley for anybody that's been sitting on the fence, who maybe isn't sure, should I do it, should I not? You could be like me where you lost a high-paying job and you decided, hey, not going to go back to it. I'm going to take a chance on my niche. I'm going to take a chance on myself and what I love. But the nice thing was I wish I had a gym back then because, you know, everything with me was with YouTube, reading books. It's a great way to learn, but if you don't have the tenacity or discipline, you could get in some trouble here. So we brought Jim on because I'm hoping Jim we'll answer a lot of the stuff that's been going on in my mind for 2 years, and we can help everybody out there. So no further ado, Jim, welcome to Motivation and Muscle.
Thank you, Eric, for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, I'm glad to have you on. You're a wealth of knowledge without even opening your mouth right now. Jim, why don't you tell all our listeners out there, just give us a little bit about your background, why you like doing this so much, and why you feel that this will be so beneficial to our family here at Motivation and Muscle.
Well, I appreciate that, Eric. I am just like you. Coca-Cola decided that they didn't want me to work there anymore and told me to go leave the building with a security escort, Eric. And I was 23 or 24 at the time in my life. I was devastated. I thought I was going to be the CEO of Coca-Cola, and I had no other plans. And so I was really lost. I didn't know what to do. I decided to go back to school, and my parents said, that's a great idea. Just move out of our house first and quit taking our money. And they're incredibly supportive, but they also wanted me to get out on my own. So I decided to go back to school, but I also wanted to start a business to pay for school. And so when I was 24, I started a business in the children's education space. We taught kids anything that didn't have anything to do with sports. So we were the opposite sort of what you were doing here in Muscle. That business grew into 700 employees in 7 years. And wow, with no capital infusion, we did that entirely bootstrapping the business. We grew to 89 locations in 4 different countries in addition to the United States. We had locations at places you might have heard of like Stanford, MIT, Georgetown, UCLA, SMU. Every big school in the country of fame we were at. And sold that business when I was 31 years old, had no idea what I wanted to do with the rest of my life. And one of the universities called and offered me a job teaching. And so I became a university professor for 9 years. And the first semester, Eric, I was sort of telling my students, this entrepreneurship stuff is really easy. And they were like, no, Jim, it's really hard. And I was like, no, it's easy. You can do it. It's not hard. And I made a bet with my class that I could start a business that semester, make it 100% cash flow positive, and repay all startup capital. So by any definition, I would be in the black. And they got to choose the country and the industry that I would start my business in. Well, this was right after 9/11, and so the class thought they were funny, and they said Pakistan in furniture. So I had 3 months to build a profitable Pakistani furniture company. Well, I did. It worked. And I actually made that bet 12 semesters in a row and never lost the bet. And one of the journalists here in town was hearing this story. Was like, that's a great story. We should publish that. And, well, I'll make you a bet. If you can find a publisher who wants to tell that story, I'll write the book. Well, he called back a week later and said, McGraw-Hill said yes. So you now have 3 weeks to write a book telling this story. So I wrote a book for McGraw-Hill called School for Startups, which is still a best-selling book, you know, still selling really well on Amazon, telling my core belief that anyone can be a successful entrepreneur if you do three things. And the problem with entrepreneurship today is I think that the entire world has a misconception of what entrepreneurship is all about. You know, Eric, if we were to play Family Feud, remember the game show with... What is entrepreneurship? What are the top three answers on the board? I think the three answers would be creativity, risk, and passion. You know, entrepreneurs are creative people that take risks to start businesses that they're passionate about. Well, I don't believe any of that. I think all three of those are dramatically wrong. And the bad thing is that it prevents people from becoming an entrepreneur. So you say something like this. How many times have you ever heard this, Eric? Well, gosh, I haven't had my lightning bolt idea yet, but when I get my idea, oh boy, am I going to run with it, right? You heard that, or you've heard this.
Yep.
You know, I can't take that risk right now because my boys are about to go off to college, and now's not a good time for me to take that risk. Or this one. Oh, you know, I'm passionate about jewelry making. Or in your case, I'm passionate about the body and, you know, developing the best physical specimen that I can be. Well, a lot of people would say, you know what, you can't make a living as a runner or as a weightlifter or as a jewelry maker. Well, I don't think passion matters. I think that passion should be reserved for the bedroom and church and nowhere else. You know, I'm really passionate about woodworking, Eric. I love to woodwork. But unfortunately, when I build something and you sit on it, you're probably going to get a sore butt because it's going to collapse on the floor because I'm not really good at woodworking. I love it, but I'm not good at it. And so I think that when people realize that anyone can be an entrepreneur, all you have to do is change your mindset. It's really exciting. And so I wrote the book, sold really well. It's turned into a lot of cool opportunities for me to, you know, share this message. And so that's sort of my story.
Well, you know, here's the thing that I found just trying to get started with what I was doing, Jim. Well, and this goes back to what you're saying about all the excuses, you know, with it's always something why we can't do it. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of people, if you listen, if you walk through a cemetery and you listen enough, you're probably going to hear a lot of people that they wish they did this, they did that. You know, you end up taking it with you, and by the time you're maybe confident enough you want to do something, it's too late. But in my experience is this, I found, you know, like you, I lost a very high-paying job. Building software for IBM mainframes, which if anyone's not aware of what that is, those are very large machines that run massive amounts of data. Any big industry, insurance, hospital, anything like that, are usually running these big machines. Well, when that happened, I had enough at that point. You know, they were doing a lot of liquidating of people. The environment was really bad. You know, as we all know, the market's a little rough out there, but you can find jobs. There's stuff out there, but you got to persevere. But the point I got to was this. I love physical culture. I always have. And physical culture to me is not only going out and throwing weights and stones around. You know, neurologically, you got to set yourself up. You got to be a smart guy to do things like this. I don't care what anybody tells you. To be able to go, and though it might not be what everyone wants to do in life, I'll just give my example. You go to Iceland, you're putting yourself out on the line in front of a lot of people that you know if you should fail, and I don't consider anything a failure with it, but if you do not pick that stone up of 400-plus pounds and walking 50 meters, people are going to say, well, you didn't do well, or you're a loser, or whatever. Well, that's not the case. And what I felt when I started, this is what I heard. Well, how are you going to get the money? What are you going to do if it fails? Are you going to work a part-time job? Are you going to do this? You're going to do that? Everything Jim lined up in front of me was, you can't, you won't, you don't do, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And I was like, you know what? Screw you. You know, if you don't want to be part of it, you don't have a belief in me, you know what? You can still, we're still friends, but if you choose not to hang around anymore, that's okay. Well, I can tell you, I've lost a lot of friends. And these are friends that I've known for years, some of them since we were kids. And at first, it kind of stings you a little bit, but you know what? You can't look back anymore, and that's how I've approached everything I've done. And now some of the people that were kind of naysaying are now, oh, well, now the wheels are starting to turn. You know, as they say, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, and it's a little bit different, you know. So that's how my whole thing started, and now we're 2 years into the whole thing, and we're starting to see quite a bit of good positive energy flowing, and the business is starting to take off, and we really haven't officially launched anything.
Exactly. You know, those people who are all of these naysayers, you know, they're trying to talk you out of it because they know that they won't do it. And if you do it, it makes them look bad. It makes them look like they're sofa sitters. And Eric, there's nothing in the world worse than a sofa sitter, is there?
No, there's not.
I hate those people. You know,
well,
they're just,
you know,
lazy.
They are lazy. And you know what? It's easy to put somebody down, you know, when they are kind of down. That's what I seem to hit upon. It was like, you know, they know right now that, you know, a lot of things have happened. You're scrambling somewhat to get yourself back together again. Because as you know, Jim, I don't care who you are. Losing a job is a trauma. I you know, some people handle it better than others. Some never come back from it. Some even go more extreme, which I'm not even going to get into. But this is a big blow to you, especially when you see financially, okay, what am I going to do now? You know, things are a little bit different out there. Maybe you bounce back in the same position. Maybe you don't. Maybe you have to take a pay cut. Maybe your hours change. There's a lot of things that go into the whole composition of that. And I got to the point where I just, no more, you know, And people don't understand that until you come up against this, and hopefully you're very successful with what you want to do with your entrepreneurship. But what I found more than anything is I always had to have a lot of mental tenacity with whatever I do, and I'm very disciplined. And that's, I think it's a lot of how we were brought up. We were brought up in a large family, Italian family, but loving, but there was a line too, you know, and you knew that, you know, my parents were my parents. They weren't my friends. You know, they loved me and I love them still, but the relationship was that way. And my father is very strict about how to do things and all that and being your own man and yada, yada. But the whole thing with this whole mess was this, and I don't look at it as a mess, how some people would say it, is as a person, I've grown more in 2 years than I have in my entire life. I don't take no for an answer, pretty much. I no longer hang around or surround myself with anybody I feel that is like a vampire. And by that, I mean where rather than offer constructive things, it's always like you and I just said, you can't do it. But I sit on my butt all day and I'm sitting looking at the world and saying how lousy it is when, you know what, I don't even have the balls to get up and do anything. So now my perspective is this, no matter, like, this is the fourth podcast, no matter how tired I feel, which I feel great because these things energize the life out of you, but there's other stuff going on in the business that, you know, I don't need to discuss, and there's a lot going on behind the scenes, and I am a one-man show right now. But it's all worth it because I know a year from now, things are going to be so much different in my life, and I'm going to make a good living from this because my whole purpose is to help people. I want to be out there like we're doing with you today. This is a little bit off from what we usually do, but this is stuff that I believe in that will help people because most of the people listening to this podcast, Jim, own businesses. I know that, and I've talked to people I've had on the show that are all lifters, and most of them have very good jobs, but they tell me, boy, I'd like to go out and start my own business because, you know what, I've been doing XYZ for so-and-so, and I don't want to do it anymore. So a man of your experience and of knowledge like this is, to me, you know, this is a gold nugget for our listeners.
Well, I appreciate that very much, Eric.
What do you think? All right. So obviously you've been very successful at doing startups. All right, let's use me as an example. It doesn't matter. We can use anything. All right, I come to you, Jim, and I'm gonna say, Jim, you know, I lost my job. I don't want to do it anymore. I know you have experience in this field. You've been very successful with everything you've touched. Just talk to me like, you know, you and I are neighbors, and explain to me, you've known me, let's say, half of my adult life, all right? And, you know, I come to you, and I know that this is what you do, but I want to talk to you as a neighbor, not as you, you know, saying, well, you got to do this, do that. What would you tell me right now? You know, I've lost the job. You know what I like to do. I've come to you with some of the stuff I like to do. Just tell me, like, how would you start me out?
Well, the first thing I want to do is lay some groundwork. I have a couple questions for you, and those are sort of personal, but let me ask you this, Eric. Do you have any problems?
Problems as in, you know, mental problems?
Well, no. Like, for example, I don't like to walk around naked because people laugh at me, and so I buy clothes. And I don't like to walk really long distances because I'm inherently lazy, so I bought a car. And when my side hurts, I don't like that, so I go to the doctor. And in all of those situations, I will gladly give you my money if you will solve any of my problems, right?
Yep.
So,
you
know, we all have problems. I assume that you have one or two problems, right, Eric? You know,
sure, everybody. Yeah, definitely.
And do you know people with problems?
Well, absolutely.
Then you qualify to be an entrepreneur. You know, to be a plumber, you have to go and take a certificate and maybe join a union and all of that stuff. And to be a astronaut, you got to go to like 40 years of school and learn physics and stuff that I'll never understand. But to be an entrepreneur, the only criteria, the only way that, you know, that you are certified to be an entrepreneur is if you say, I see a problem, and I will solve that problem. And I bet you people will pay me for the solution. So let's take a horrible example. You're in the hospital. You're lonely. You hurt. Would you pay to have someone come and spend 30 minutes with you and rub your feet and give you a foot massage while you were in the hospital? Would you pay
for that? Absolutely. Sure I would.
No, in a heartbeat, I would pay for that, right? And so you are solving someone's problem. You're making them happy. You're giving them physical comfort and emotional comfort. You're going to talk to them and pretend that you care and all of this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So you're solving a problem. Anyone that has a problem is qualified to be an entrepreneur. And that problem can be as simple as, I am unemployed right now and I don't have a job and I don't know how to get a job. So maybe I should start a business for the sole purpose of making money. That's also an acceptable problem. Can I tell a story about my beautiful wife, Eric?
Sure. Absolutely. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, so I got this beautiful wife of mine named Megan. And Megan is very, very, very shy. She's an incredible introvert. Her full-time job is a computer programmer. She sits in a cubicle and doesn't like it when people come and talk to her. She's as shy as could be, as beautiful as could be, but shy. But being married to me is hard. I expect the people around me to start businesses. And so I said, Megan, I want you to start a business. And on December 26th, about 18, 19 months ago, she started a business. And she had to use my rules. We weren't going to spend more than $500 to start the business, period. We weren't going to be passionate about it. So it's not, I don't care if you like the business. All I care is that it makes money. And we don't care where you get the idea from. I'm not going to give you extra credit for having an original idea. And let me ask you this. If you started a business, do your customers care where you got the idea for the business from? No, they don't.
Not at all.
They just want to be satisfied with the goods and services that they buy from you. And so I didn't care what my wife did as long as it made money. So we went out there, and, you know, there's all these systems. There's weight loss systems like you sell. There's start business systems. And I happen to know of one system, which was Amazon, right? And everyone knows about Amazon. My wife buys stuff at wholesale and sells it at retail on a little website called Amazon. About 60% of the stuff sold on Amazon, Amazon doesn't own it. Amazon's not selling it. They're just facilitating the sale for someone else. So you can go on Amazon, scroll to the very bottom, and there's a button that says Make Money With Us. She clicked on that button. She signed up. And now she was a registered Amazon salesperson. All you have to do then is go out and find a product to buy and sell. And in your case, it should be, you know, weight related, workout related, sure, anything like that. Your barbells, your sandbags that you use running up hills, all of those things are products that people buy on Amazon. So she found a company, and at that time she was pregnant and or had just had a baby, and so baby stuff was on her mind, and she found a company that sold a baby stroller that you could hang on the back of your door in a crowded apartment. You know, baby strollers are big, but this one would hang on the back of a door and disappear more or less.
Yep.
So she called up the company and said, can I buy $500 of those baby strollers? They said yes. Wow, that wasn't very hard. You know, sometimes they say no, sometimes they say yes. This company said yes. So she sent them $500, probably via credit card, and a month later, a whole bunch of strollers showed up at our house. She then processed them, and that took about 8 minutes, and then mailed them to Amazon. Well, Amazon went out and marketed for her. Amazon did all of the fulfillment for her. Amazon sold these things for her, and about 3 weeks later, she got a check direct deposited into her checking account for $1,100.
Nice.
She's doubled her money. And so what do you do then? Rinse and repeat, right? She did it again. Yep. And then she found another product, and she found another product. Now she has about 10 different products that she sells on Amazon. Last year, or in her first year of business. Are you sitting down, Eric?
Yeah, I'm here.
Wait till you hear this. $68,000 in her first year.
Oh, my God.
And let me tell you more. She still has her full-time job.
Yep.
She still cooks dinner every night. And I'm still a happy husband, if you know what I mean.
I got you, man.
Okay? So everything in our life is the same, except once a month, we spend 4 or 5 hours watching TV together, processing this stuff that comes in and out of our house. No creativity there. Selling on Amazon is the least creative thing you can do. No risk. She risked $500, but that she was buying inventory, so if worse came to worse, she could sell it on eBay and at least get her money back, or maybe only lose $100. That's not really a risk. And passion, I promise we're not passionate about any of the products that we sell. As a matter of fact, we don't use a single one of them, which is great because we're not tempted to steal from ourselves. But look at this. Zero creativity, zero risk, zero passion. $68,000. I'm really passionate about $68,000. And imagine if you were unemployed, how many deals you could do like this and how much money you could make. She did that in, I really want to say, 4 to 5 hours a month.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Wow. Unbelievable. And the coolest thing, Eric, as I started off telling you, she's shy and an introvert.
Yeah.
And the first year, like in January, we went to a trade show here in town and walked up and down the aisles, and she would see a product and she'd go, Jim, go ask them. Go ask them if they'll sell to me. And I would walk up and say, my wife wants to know if you sell to us. And some people would say no and some people would say yes. But she was too shy to go and talk to the people herself. We went back a year later, and I could not keep up with the woman because she was going so fast, talking to so many people, making so many deals, I could barely keep up with her and hold all of the stuff that she was getting. Her personality in 1 year, Eric, exploded.
Changed, totally.
She's now got incredible self-confidence. She knows that if I drop dead, she can make a living by herself. And then the coolest thing is that now she's seeing other opportunities, other things mm-hmm. that never would have crossed her mind, her path, are all of a sudden realistic. People are coming up to her and saying, what you're doing is amazing. Teach me. I'll pay you $1,000 if you teach me how to do it.
Yep.
And all of a sudden now she has two businesses. It's amazing. And the only thing that we had to do was go out there and spend an hour researching some cool method of making business. And there's only like 500,000 of these methods out there. You know, some of them are complete scams. The ones that say get rich quick are scams. The ones that say get rich while working really hard are probably real things. You know, have you ever heard of a weight loss product that if you walk through this doorway, you're going to lose $50? No, you hear weight loss products that say if you work hard and control what you put in your face, you're going to lose weight, right? And those are real.
They are real because, you know what, Jim? Now, in your wife's story especially, she found her passion, though, too, all right? Granted, all right, you didn't enter in with Amazon because you really didn't care what you're selling. But what I'm saying, she found passion within herself, all right? She discovered that, you know what? I don't have to be quiet anymore. I understand what I'm doing. I've got good people behind me, meaning you. And you know what? Now I want to go after this the way I want to do it because I'm not afraid of anybody saying no or saying you can't do it or whatever you want to put in quotations, all right? This is the thing about entrepreneurship I love. I don't care who you are. You can be whatever they want to call personality, A, B, C, or D. If you find something you like to do, and you really like to do it, all right, and in your case, you didn't really care about the product, but the bottom line was this got the juices really rolling in your wife, and this is what happened with me, too. Granted, I'm doing it a little bit differently, but we are doing joint ventures with a couple different people, obviously, because of lists, et cetera, et cetera. But the great thing about this is this. I'm going to try to describe it from my perspective, how I feel. It's the not only the best feeling you could ever have in your mind, in your body, in your soul, but it's like a never-ending thing. And by this, I mean this. I have a little recorder I keep on my nightstand. You'd be surprised at night when I'll wake up and I'll have an idea and I'll turn the thing on. Of course, the next morning it sounds like I've been drinking, but I can understand what I was thinking, okay? I can hear it. I can decipher it. And this is an ongoing thing that I love because it's nice to feel when you wake up and your feet hit the floor that here we go again. And I love it. I that's why I've got you here. I think anybody that doesn't want to be an entrepreneur, you should really think twice now, especially after you listen to this podcast. This is the greatest thing you could ever do in your life. But you got to be willing to, there are going to be some potholes along the way. You got to know how to zig and zag and be able to take it. And I do believe, as in your wife's case, and in my case, I'm sure it's going to happen, success will follow.
I agree. Exactly. You know, one of the things that I love about people who care about their body is that they're treating their body supposedly like a temple, right? You put good things in, you work hard, and good things come out of it. But, you know, from the mental side of it as well, or the personality side, you know, and it doesn't matter if you believe in God, Yahweh, Buddha, Muhammad, none of that matters. But what is cool is that when you're born, you're given a basket of skills. You're really good at this. You're really good at this. You're sort of good at this. You're horrible at this. But you've got this basket of skills. And by being an entrepreneur or someone really dedicated to their body, you can use that basket of skills to the maximum. You know, when you were working at IBM, you probably had lots of skills that you weren't using because your job didn't require it. But now your job does require it. And you're expanding yourself. You're becoming a better person. Your muscles are getting bigger, hopefully. Your mile time is going down, hopefully. but you're becoming a better person and using the skills given to you at birth by your parents and their genes, right? And you're fulfilling yourself to the maximum, and that's what's so cool about it.
It is, and when you feel like you're making a difference in your life and other people's, that's what it's all about. I mean, we're sitting here talking right now with something that I am living personally right now, just like your wife is and other people that you deal with, and myself now too, because I hope down the road, I mean, right now we're just pushed right against the wall with all the stuff going on to get everything out there before the end of the year. But like yourself, with what we're talking about today, I have a story to tell. I'm going to put together something, I hope, next year where I'm going to talk about what we're talking about here, what I had to do, how I had to build a WordPress site. You know, thank God I was a programmer. If I wasn't a systems guy, I would have been in big trouble, because we got to look at monetarily. You know, you're talking out over $500. Well, to do what we're doing right now that I built, the bottom line was they wanted $3,000 to build a WordPress Blueberry site that I could do everything. Okay, some of the software, as you know, is free, like Audacity, where I do anything with the show and then bring it and shuttle it over to Blueberry. Now, even though I'm not in IT anymore, and I'm glad I'm out of it, I'm glad I was in it, Jim, for one big reason. And I don't know how things all work. You know, they always say there's a certain path you're going to follow. We don't know where it leads. Yes and no, but here's what I say. Maybe all this stuff when I was a programmer doing all the big IBM stuff was just the precursor, the shot over the bow that we knew down the road, maybe 10 years down the road, who would ever thought of it? But here we are with Fiorello Barbell Company, and here I am sitting with you, who is an expert on motivation and muscle. If you told me this a year ago, even though I'd been wanting to do it and trying it, I would have just looked at you probably dumbfounded.
Exactly. You know, you never know what you can accomplish until you try. And that's true in weights. It's also true in starting businesses, in relationships. You never know how good a girl will say yes to you until you ask a lot of really good-looking girls, you know?
Without a doubt, because I'll tell you a story that's interesting. When I was in college, there was this girl named Debbie. She was beautiful. And I had a professor, and, you know, we were all weightlifters, and I had a professor back then that was a football coach with some of the semi-pro teams here in Albany. And he was the greatest guy. And I'll give his last name. I'm sure he's still around. I love the guy. Frank Klein, his name was. And I took all my business classes with him. And he was just a big man. He had like a walrus mustache. And he was the nicest guy. You didn't mess with him, though. I mean, he was that, you know, but otherwise. And I remember Frank saying, we were talking about girls one day, and he's like, have you ever met Debbie? Her father owned, I think, I don't know if they were like Photoshop places or whatever, but they had money. And I said, yeah, she's beautiful, because she was graduating just as I came in. And he goes, you want me to tell you something? And I was like, because he was good friends with her. He said, she used to come over to him and couldn't understand why guys wouldn't ask her out.
Yep.
And guys are funny, and women are the same way. You know, sometimes they can be very intimidated by looks. But you know something? That girl, I mean, I'm not saying she would have went out with anybody, but there was nobody even asking. And, you know, then they get the idea something's wrong with them. Well, it's not. It's just like people – I don't know why I know more people that come up with scenarios about something they've never done before they even go and try it. You know, well, why don't you go ask her after? Well, I don't think she'd go out with me. Well, how do you know? I mean, how do you know unless she says no to you that she won't go out with you? So us as human beings, unfortunately, you cheat yourself out of a lot of things in life. And it is kind of human nature with people, because nobody wants to hear the word no. But with entrepreneurship, I can tell you I've heard tons of no's. And it's like after a while, it doesn't even faze you anymore, because you get this mindset where it's like, you know what, I'm going to do this no matter what. And I don't care what anybody says, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to seek out the people. And you know what the best thing of all, besides seeking people, because you put a vibration out like that, just like your wife did, they're going to start seeking you. And that is the most important thing, because you're going to meet people that are going to be very like-minded, and hopefully the two or three or four or 100 of you are going to make something very good out of what you're doing, and you're helping them out, and your success explodes. And I'm seeing this with my company right now more and more. And I can tell you, you know, I've read things for years. You know, we talked yesterday about like Tony Robbins, Les Brown, all these guys that are big, big, big out there. Zig Ziglar, all these guys. I've listened to for years. You know, and I used to listen to them and say, are these guys full of shit? You know, it's like, because you can't see it yet. You're working, and you don't see anything. But you know something? Things are happening, even though you don't see them yet. And I can tell you what those guys were saying. I'm starting to see it happen more and more with me. But the biggest thing you got to do is believe in yourself.
That's right. That's right. It's, you know, the only thing is you have to go do it. You know, you have to throw away the remote control and go out there and take life by the horns. You know, if you don't go to the gym, if you don't go on Google and go to YouTube and improve your skill sets, nothing is going to happen to you. You know, if you don't go out and ask the girl, put yourself in the place where girls, you know, like to be asked out, which is not usually at bars, you know, you're just never going to succeed. And so, you know, I lost a huge contract 6-7 months ago. And my brother saw me the next day, and he was like, oh, I'm so sorry for you. How you dealing with it? And I was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, you lost that big contract yesterday. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'd forgotten about that. It's water off a duck's back, right? You know, being told no is not bad, you know. And as you said, you get to the point where you don't even care anymore. And I don't care anymore. Sometimes I'm lucky if I get 2 or 3% yes. But you know what? 2 or 3% yes equals $200,000 a year of income, you know?
Exactly.
And so you just having someone say no to you shouldn't bother you at all. That's their stupidity. They're not smart enough to want to go out with you, to work out with you, to buy your product. Blow them off, move on, and realize that the next customer is around the corner. You know that old expression, there's a bus every 5 minutes.
Sure. Absolutely. And, you know, people, you know, the one thing I don't understand is why when, you know, I know why. I know the word fear. That is like the worst thing you can have. And most people are taught fear. Look at everything that's going on in the world right now to me. The way it's being reported, everything is just fear-based, all right? And some people are going to wait forever for XYZ to be settled. Well, in the meantime, stop waiting and go out and do something you want to do. Go out and create the life you want to live. Look, I love Iceland. I've competed in Iceland twice. I'm going back to Stone Lift there again in May if everything goes right physically. I really am serious with it. I could see myself living there maybe 6 months out of the year, maybe the rest of my life there. I love it that much, all right? And by doing what I'm doing, this is going to afford me the ability to be able to make choices and decisions like that. Another thing, Jim, being down on your money, especially, you know, with the last few years, you know, being smart enough to save well, and, you know, the well's going to run dry sooner or later. And I've sworn this because I've never had to do things like this. You know, whenever I go somewhere and you got to live really, really within a budget, not that I didn't before, but you know what? If I wanted to get something that wasn't ridiculous, I would get it. All right. I can't do that now. I don't like living that way. I like being able to live a certain lifestyle and not look back. Another thing I like to do is I like to be very generous with family or friends need help. I can't do that right now. These are things that I live by. These are things that are important to me. My feeling is with what I'm doing here with the show and with Fiorella Barbell Company in general, we're going to offer, like you said, a service that people are going to like, they're going to buy, they're going to be very happy with, they're going to keep coming back. By helping people, I help myself, I go and live the life I want to live. And that, to me, is the gist of my entrepreneurship right now.
Yeah, you know, it's about passion. One of the things I like to tell people is, You don't have to be passionate about the thing. And you're mm-hmm. lucky, Eric. You are passionate. And so you're double lucky. But you know what? Even if you're not passionate about a product or a service, you can be passionate about the lifestyle that comes with it, the freedom that comes with it, the knowledge that you are in control of your own destiny. I don't report to the man. I get up when I want. I go to bed when I want. If I want to work half time, which means 12 hours a day, I can do that, right? But it's all up to me. I am in control, and I am doubly passionate about that. You know, I got 3.5 kids. We got another one on the way. I get to go to ballet at 2 if I want, and soccer at 3, and then wrestling at 4 with the kids. That's so cool. And so my lifestyle is better, you know, and I'm passionate about that. I'm willing to sell baby products all day long that I don't use, care about, or want, but it allows me to do the stuff I am passionate about, which is have an incredible life with my family and take them to Disney a week, a year. You know, all I want to do is go to Disney with my kids. That's the that's how I measure happiness. And if I can do that a week or so a year, I'm willing to do almost anything that's moral and legal, you know, to have an incredible lifestyle. It's, you know, all these people get in their car and they commute an hour to work, and then they do stuff they don't like, and then they commute an hour home. You know, I get up in the morning, I can put my office in my house, or I can put it in a Regis Rent-A-Center, you know, a quarter mile from my house. It's up to me. And that's so cool. I'm in control, not you. I'm in control, not the man.
Exactly. And it's so important because, you know, something like you just hit it. You nailed it before. I drive an hour. I come home an hour. I go to a job I hate. I don't like the people around me. And you wonder why people come home and they don't get along, or they end up splitting off, you know. And not only that, it's just now the world to me, it's just become way too fast. It's like, why do you have to have everything now, now, now? Why can't, what's the matter with building a business, building up clientele, selling things, whether you like the product or not? Why is it this instant gratification you got to have? Because I hate to tell anybody this, but I'm going to be blunt with you. Jim's, I'm sure, taken a number of years to do what he's done. His wife has, and anybody he knows, same with the people I know. And I'm telling you, sitting here talking to Jim, if you think that something's just going to happen by snapping your fingers, I don't want to burst your bubble, but it's not going to happen. There is a certain amount of time, ideas, and things of that nature that you've got to put into what you do. And most of all, you've got to believe in yourself. And this is something I want to ask you, Jim. You know, obviously, being a teacher for a number of years, being out in the world, you know, obviously you're a very young man when you had such success in a personal level with a business, which is, you don't hear about stuff like that very often. Let me ask you from a perspective now. You've been around long enough and around enough young and older people and in between. Do you find a difference in people nowadays as far as entrepreneurs, or is an entrepreneur an entrepreneur? By this I mean, yeah, they've got the true grit for it. Maybe they all function a little differently, but is it the same? I mean, are the what you see with people, are people different now? The same? What do you see out of it now with entrepreneurship?
Yeah, you know, I have a guy that I grew up with. He's the exact same age as me. I've known him since we were 3. I know that he desperately wants to run a golf business, something related to golf, but he's a actuarial. And so he drives an hour, works for a job he hates, and comes home. He's miserable. He has tons of family money, so he has the money to start a business, but he's got some sort of fear or something in him that's holding him back. And no matter how much I encourage him, he's just not willing to get in the game. He's just going to sit on the sidelines forever, and he's miserable. And I really can't be friends with him anymore. You know, we still see each other at Christmas, and we go have lunch once or twice a year, but we don't hang out. I don't call him on a Friday night and say, let's go have a drink. Let's hang out. Mm-hmm. I call other entrepreneurs, other business owners, because they're the type of people that I connect with now. I
Correct.
Don't connect with people who I see sitting on the sidelines. I'm in the middle of the field getting the hell beat out of me a couple times a week. And they're sitting on the sidelines, and it's really hard, I don't want to say to respect, but just to understand why they're letting their life go past. You know, their life, I'm 47, he's 47. You know, pretty soon he's going to be 87 and looking back on nothing. Looking back on actuarial tables. I'd rather kill myself than look at actuarial tables, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I just die for him. On the other hand, you see people that are living this struggle and having a hard time of it, and things aren't going great. But you know what? They're fighting the fight, and I have so much respect for that. And I do want to tell you one thing, too, Eric.
Yeah.
I've had huge, huge bad things in my life. You know, my entrepreneurial life has not been easy and, you know, daffodils and unicorns and daisies. I've been massively in debt. You know, I had to dig my way out of a $9 million hole that I dug for myself. I've been really sick because of it, worked too hard. You know, doctor said, you need to go to the hospital. I said, I got to go to the bank. You know, I lost a wife. You know, my kids now live with someone else. Two of my kids live in a different city, you know, because of entrepreneurship. It is not easy, and it has, you know, some bumps along the road and stuff. But you know what? Entrepreneurs fight back. We don't give up. We don't say, oh, I couldn't lift that weight today. I guess I'll just quit and never lift weights again, right?
Exactly.
Entrepreneurs say, ooh, I couldn't get 220 up today. I bet you I can tomorrow. I know I will next week. I know I will next week. And that's our attitude. I'm going to keep fighting no matter what. And I don't care what the rules are either. You know, just as long as I know what the rules are, I'm going to go play the game. And some days the game is really hard and you get your knee skinned and, you know, you're bleeding out of your eyeballs and stuff. But still, the lifestyle is better. In the end, I have incredible self-confidence and happiness because I have tried to do hard things.
And you know, like we were talking about with the girls there, girls smell confidence a mile
love
away.
Love it.
They love it. And you don't have to be an ass wipe about it either. You know, there's a lot of guys that, you know, it doesn't take much of a man to be like a bully or anything like that. You know, it takes more of a man to be a gentleman. And the thing that I find with a lot of the weightlifting community is, you know, they've been targeted wrongly in a lot of ways. And it's like in anything, you're always going to have people that are going to be a problem and stand out, because that's what people seem to love. They don't want to hear the things where someone's decent or done something well. Not everyone. I'm talking about when we're looking what mainly is out there in our atmosphere right now. Hopefully it will change. If not, you change yourself. Don't worry about it. But one thing I find out is this. When you're very confident in what you do, we'll use weightlifting. Right now, I do very heavy things, obviously lift stones and all that stuff. A gentleman who knows what he can do doesn't have to go out and show anybody anything, because I'll tell you, the toughest nuts I've ever met in my life, and I don't mean nuts as in crazy, but it's always good to have a little bit of that with you too, are people you wouldn't want to mess around with, all right? And you shouldn't take someone being a gentleman or being kind to people as weakness, because to me that is more strength than anything you could ever possess. So I think that the perception of a lot of things aren't always what they seem to be. And I think it goes the same way with entrepreneurs, because, you know, you hit me right in the head a few minutes ago with you saying, is I don't do it a lot anymore. I don't hang around with a lot of people that I used to. Now, whether we disassociated because of what started all this with the business and they didn't understand it, or second of all, I don't feel like I really got much in common with a lot of them anymore, you know? And I feel that it's good, same way like weightlifting and everything, when we get on these podcasts. This is like a big community, Jim. It's like, we like to shuffle ideas around. We like to talk to each other. Maybe we don't always agree, but we respect one another enough where we still want to be around each other. And what I found now is, like, I'm so damn hungry to do things now. I don't relate well with a lot of people anymore. And that's all right. I'm not putting their life down at all, but it's not the life I want anymore. I don't work in a cubicle anymore. I don't sit there and bitch about my boss anymore or my coworker, or, like, I don't have enough time for lunch, or, you know what, I got to leave at 3:45 today because I've got to do X, Y, Z and have it done in 45 minutes. I don't live that way anymore. And, you know, people said to me, well, you know, this is the big thing, and this is one thing I want to ask you, because this is something that bugs the hell out of me. Like a lot of people know, right now, obviously, we're just turning the key, and we're not making a lot of money, all right? And I love to hear him say this to me. Well, you got a business, but you're not making any money. Now, number one, who the hell do you think you are even saying that to me, because you don't know what financially I'm doing? And the ones in the family that might say it that know what's going on somewhat, I resent the living hell out of that. And that's a good way for me to just kind of break the tide with you right there, because, number one, you've never done this. Number two, like anything, it's going to take you a little time. And number three, I will get there. So I imagine you've heard that in your entrepreneur life. And tell me, if someone came and said that to you, what would your reaction be? If I said to you, hey, you know, Jim, you've been doing this stuff for 10 years now, and, you know, you're telling me you're making this and that, and I don't ever really see it, and then I hear you're bankrupt, yada, yada, yada. What's your reply at that point?
At least I tried. At least I tried. Wimp. I mean, you know, what have you tried? You know, at least I got in the game. And, you know, if I die broke, at least I can say, hell, I got and played the game. I got the ball. You know, who do we hate the most, Eric? We hate the kid that takes the ball home. You know, remember that brat? I'm not gonna play. Yep. I'll take my ball home.
Yep.
Well, you know what? Go on home and stay there, because I'm going to play with this rock. You know, I'm going to play fun with this rock. At least I tried.
Yeah. It's a funny thing. And, you know, like I said before, entrepreneurship, I'll say it again, if you're not sure or you're on the fence, get in the game, like Jim said. It is the best thing you could ever do. Like I said, this is the fourth podcast today, and, like, Jim is a great guest. You can hear the passion in his voice. He's just so enthusiastic. And, you know, being on the other side of the mic here, you know, it fires me up like you wouldn't believe. I mean, I'm thinking, you know, you got a million things running through your head all the time, and it's all good. I found another thing, too, with this. It's like, you know, a lot of the crap that used to creep into my head doesn't anymore, Jim. And when it does, I know how to funnel it right out. You know, we were talking about that today with a good friend of mine, Steve Helmicki, about just breathing practices, learning how to breathe properly, because it has an awful lot of connection mainly to your brain. We were talking about, you know, whether it was weight training, some type of martial art, fighting, anything like that. And this can be day-to-day stuff. Learn how to breathe, and I'm telling you, if you do, when you have things in your head that you don't want in, your body will naturally revert to this process. And it's funny, you know, when you shift your attention to something else, what happens? The problem usually goes away.
Exactly.
So, you know, this is what entrepreneurship has taught me. And the base of all this has been from weight training, because I still think a disciplined life is the best life, because, like Jim and I have been talking about tons of stuff here and shifting gears all over the place, that's all discipline. That's knowledge and that's experience. And what we're giving here you today is total experience. I'm telling you right now, if you're sitting on the fence, if you got a dream, damn it, go for it. You know, this is a friend of mine wants to start a business, okay? And he's in the same field as me. And I told him flat out the other day, don't wait like me. And I didn't know it was really coming. I had ideas they were going to do this stuff to us, but there was no finality until they call you in the room and basically They're talking to you from New York City, basically, and saying, you are out of here, all right? So, as I told him, you've got a decent income now. You don't have a lot of bills, hopefully. Start that business up right now. Start it up right now. If you're afraid of your income, do it right now. Have it going, because God forbid, if they call you in on a Wednesday and say, you know what, we've decided we're going to outsource your job. Well, you can look at them and say whatever the hell you want, because you know that you've already started your entrepreneurship. So I think this is a good lesson in learning too, don't you, Jim?
Definitely. You know, the more streams of income you have, the more you reduce risk. And so if you do get outsourced, downsized, right-sized, or just plain out fired like I did, at least you know what you're going to do next, right? Yep. So you got to get started now. You can't start yesterday.
And not only that, you know something, it is a disruption in your life. I can tell you, like you probably did, you know, you're used to getting up at a certain time every day. You're used to eating breakfast at a certain time. Everything falls in these patterns. And you know what? I don't miss any of them. I mean, my schedule, I eat when I pretty much want to eat. But, you know, as a weightlifter, you want to have things kind of universally there when you want to do it. But some days I can't because of business, so I make up for it in a different way. But I don't miss any of that stuff. You know, 12 o'clock, everybody's running out like a herd of cattle, you know? Be back in 1 hour, you know? It's like you said, Jim, the freedom is something you will not appreciate till you actually do this.
That's right. That's right.
And I think that if I was going to leave one message today to anybody, I would say, after you listen to this podcast, I would tell you, go after your dream immediately. I wouldn't even wait. Don't even sit there and say, well, should I? Because if you're asking yourself that, the next time you hear us, you'll still be saying, well, should I? So, Jim, you know, as we're winding the show down here, what if I know that you've given pearls here, but let's say we've got a lot of people in motivation and muscle land. Besides, there's a lot of other people that listen to these podcasts with the guys and gals that have it on, family people. What would you tell somebody that's just been sitting on the fence, let's say, for a year or two? What would be the best thing you could give them right now?
Go home, take your remote control, put it underneath barbells 500 times, throw the pieces away, and never watch the stupid television again. You got to get off the sofa. The sofa is your worst enemy. Just give it up. Go home.
Yeah.
It's up to you. You know, I can't do it for you. Eric can't do it for you. You have to take your right hand, put it up over your head, and say, I will. That's it.
Yeah.
It's up to you. You and your right hand.
Yeah, I think that's right on the money. I mean, and you know, another thing I'd say too is, you know, get Jim's book. I mean, go out and read School for Startups. Go out and, you know, we talked about, you know, next time you come on, I forgot to remind you, just thought of it now. We'll talk about that Tony Robbins story.
We'll do that next time.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about that. But, you know, like Jim said, you know, Jim and I were saying, go out and listen to some of these people. You know, these are people that have experience. They've, you know, especially a guy like Tony Robbins. I mean, incredible. You know, all these people have businesses, or they've been in the same pickle that Jim and I have been in. And, you know, they just decided one day, they're like, no more. I'm not going to live this way anymore. And there's nothing wrong if that's what you choose to do, to work for somebody and you want to live that way and work 35 years, if you're lucky. Nowadays, most places, you'll be lucky if you last 10 before they get tired of your face. But you know something? Go out, take the gamble, listen to people, get some knowledge, do what I did. I mean, you know, YouTube was my best friend. I mean, basically, I went out and just went over people I admired. I went out and looked at, you know, how do you build a WordPress website? You know, what do you got to do? Obviously, you meet people along the way. I right now, the company's got a great guy, Eric Orlou, who's doing all my web stuff. The guy is fabulous. One of the best people I've ever worked with. And, you know, Jim, you go through a lot of people. I mean, I've been through three people before I found this guy. That's why we've had so many delays. But I'm a person of this. Number one, I want truth, number one. If I catch you not telling me the truth, you're out of here. I don't even give you a second chance, because that's not a relationship you have with either a business, a wife, a girl. Once that stuff happens, that trust is broken with me. I'm, you know, it's that Italian Corleone style. You know, it's like, we get rid of you. You know, I don't want you around anymore. So we've had about, I bet, at least 14 months of delays here, and that's what it is. But you know what? Right now, I'm sitting better than I ever have, and the business to me now looks like we are in full mode here. We are moving. So I just want to tell everybody that there's nothing that's hopeless out there for you. I know, and I know, because you get hit again and you're like, what am I going to do? Where am I going to find these people? But like I said to Jim before, with your with what you do and what you're putting out there in the universe, I do believe good people will always be attracted to what you do. So, Jim, why don't you give us any pearls before we sign off here, and we'll have you back on before the end of the year, because I know that this show is going to explode out there with downloads. People are going to dig this big time. So anything you got to add, my friend, it's all yours, the floor.
I appreciate you having me on very much and look forward to coming back soon. Thanks a lot. Buy the book, School for Startups, and hope to talk to everyone soon. You can follow me on Twitter at Entrepreneur Jim. Thanks a lot, Eric. I greatly appreciate it.
Okay, Jim, just hold on 1 second and we'll sign off. This is Motivation and Muscle. We're the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn. We are sponsored by FiorelloBarbellCo.com, which is www.FiorelloBarbellCo.com. We are on Facebook, Fiorello Barbell. We are on Twitter at Fiorello Eric. You can get a hold of me at FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.RR.com. And we are in Stitcher and iTunes. As I tell everybody, Jim, we're heard all over the world. We got people, I was saying the other day, we got people in Germany and Italy now listening to the show.
Fantastic.
And I'm sure other places, I have to find out. And we got a brand new site, Motivation and Muscle. That's A-N-D between the motivation and muscle. And we're still doing some work on it, and I can't thank Eric enough. Jim, super show. I was so glad to have you on. I knew this would be good, and I hope it resonates with my listeners like it does with me. So I want to thank you, and we'll have you on, and I'll just say goodbye to you off the air. So for Jim Beach, this is Eric Fiorello. I want to thank you for listening to the show this afternoon. We'll be talking to you real soon. We've got some big names coming up at the end of this week, too, and we'll talk to you more. So have a great week.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.